Hello and welcome to the Soul Refuge Podcast. My name is W.F. White. I am a born-again Bible-believing Christian, and Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Be blessed. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. That's what I'll be talking about here today in this teaching. That teaching from the Watchtower Society, ladies and gentlemen, is a counterfeit teaching that is easily refuted by the Word of God, by the Scriptures. Keep in mind, the Watchtower Society, they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, they do not believe that he is God. They will call him the Son of God. And in this teaching, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is they teach that Jesus Christ is really Michael the Archangel. Now, you can go to their teachings to find that out. They go to the book of Daniel. I think they used a scripture from the book of Jude, and they try to tie it in together, and they talk about the chief of the princes, and actually Michael the Archangel is one of the chief of the princes, not the chief. So you dig into that if you so like, but I like to do what I like to do. I like to give you the truth. So this is the truth that will refute their false teachings. You've probably heard it said before, you know, when people are learning to be a bank teller, they teach the tellers, to get used to the real money, the real cash, you see? And when you get a feel for the real cash, it's easy to identify the false when it comes along. So this is what I want you to see here today. Get into the Word of God for yourself. Dig into the Word of God. Learn the Scriptures for yourself. Learn the truth, and you'll be able to easily discern the false teachers such as the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come knocking on your door, or perhaps you meet them in the street. So, as I said, they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. By the way, they have their own translation of the Bible. It's called the New World Translation. And that New Testament actually came out in 1950 with the full Bible in 1961. Now think about that. This is their translation, and this is what they use, okay? Keep in mind also that the organization, I mean, the Watchtower Society, had its roots beginning only in the, I believe it was the late 1800s. So think about that. This is what you need to know. These are little tidbits that you need to know about this organization. And by the way, you know, the translators for the Bible, that New World Bible Translation, there's really only one person. I think it was a man with the last name of Franz, and he was the only one that had a knowledge of the Greek and, you know, the Hebrew. His name was Frederick Franz, or Franz, how it's pronounced. And actually, even he did not even complete an undergraduate degree. You know, I looked at this up on Wikipedia. So, you know, folks, this is what you're dealing with when they basically come forth with their own translation. Let's go to the King James here to refute this teaching. So keep in mind, I'll be dealing with the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, who he really is. And trust me, he is not Michael the Archangel. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness listening to this today, first of all, let me thank you for listening, for the interest that you have. And I hope after you listen that you would leave that organization. So John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So what do we learn there? We learn that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My, oh my, who is this Word? How could you be with God and be God, and the Word was God? That's what it's saying. And but let me say something here. In that first verse, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," what the Jehovah's Witnesses do in that New World Translation, they insert a little A. So it says the Word was a God. Now think about that. So you see the deity of Jesus Christ being attacked right off the bat. And you know, think about it. You know, God says that you shall have no other gods before me. So the question you have to ask yourself, or ask them, I should say, you know, was Jesus Christ a God or God? And if they say he was a God, then the next thing you can ask him is, was he a true God or was he a false God? You see, so, you know, it destroys the Word of God the way they put that little A in there. So we're going to find out who the Word was. Go down to verse 10 in the same chapter of John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in verse 10, we see he was in the world and the world was made by him. Once again, that is in agreement with the beginning. It says right there in John 1:1-3, it says, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So obviously, the Word that was made flesh is speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. And we know that the Word was God. So right here, we see that Jesus Christ is God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jehovah's Witness, listen, don't cut the Word of God up and destroy it, okay? It's no question about it. We know that God created all things. Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right there. So we know that Jesus Christ created all things. My, oh, my. And this is what you're going to see, folks, the deity, the beautiful deity of Jesus Christ. We're going to go now to the book of Hebrews. And what I'm going to do, I don't think I did this in any teaching, I'm going to read the whole chapter to you because it's powerful. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So beautiful. Jesus Christ, he purged our sins. And it says here, by himself. Let me interject here. Mother Mary had nothing to do with the purging of our sins. Mother Mary had nothing to do with the salvation of our souls, ladies and gentlemen. I have to get that in there. Keep that in mind. By himself, Christ himself. This is how your sins are washed away. It's because of what Christ did on the cross. Hebrews 1, verse 4. Being made so much better, don't miss this, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. All of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So what do we learn here about the angels? It says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? He never said that to Michael the Archangel. Never. This is why this is in here. It says, verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship him. The word all means all. You study the Greek, it means all. So let all the angels of God worship him. Michael the Archangel is worshiping him right now. He's around the throne. Jesus Christ is not Michael the Archangel. Glory to God. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So here's the Father calling the Son God. Look at that. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. Don't miss that. Keep in mind, folks, the Son of God is seated right now at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah! So these are things that you need to know. Let's go to verse 9, Hebrews. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Look at again. So here's the Father talking about the Son, and thou, Lord, he calls him Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. Who made heaven and earth? Jesus Christ. Beautiful. All fits together perfectly. Verse 11, Hebrews 1:11, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Look at it again regarding the angel. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand? Michael the archangel is not seated at the right hand of the Father. It is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Not Michael the archangel. So this is why it's in the Bible, folks. So Hebrews 1 stops the false teaching of the Watchtower Society regarding Jesus Christ being Michael the archangel. One of the things that the Watchtower Society likes to proclaim is regarding the deity. They say he's not equal to God the Father. So they say he never said he was God. Well, let's go to John 8, chapter 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So this is the Lord speaking, Jesus. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? So let me stop right there. Keep in mind that Jewish people reject Jesus Christ. They do not believe he's deity. They don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe he's the Messiah. They do not believe he's the Lord. So they were always in a confrontation, always in a conflict with Jesus Christ. So here it is again. They're coming against him. And basically saying, who are you? Like, who do you make yourself to be? You know, what's going on here? So let's go to verse 54, John 8:54. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So, you know, the Jehovah's Witness people, they're not the only ones that will use words like that. Jesus never said I was God. But here, ladies and gentlemen, the words that he used by Jesus, when he said before Abraham was, I am, he was using the name I am. And that is a name that we find in the book of Exodus, which I'm going to show you. It's basically he was saying, I am God, because that's the name of God. And I'm going to make that very clear. And if you notice in verse 59, what happened after Jesus said before Abraham was, I am? It says, Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they want to stone him? Why? I'll tell you why. Because of what he just said. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew what he was saying, that he was aligning himself with the name of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, do you see that? So Moses is talking to the Lord, God Almighty. Out of a burning bush, God is speaking to him. So Moses, getting a little nervous, and he's saying, Look, when I go back to the people, what am I going to say to them? You know, I heard a voice out of a burning bush. he didn't know what to say. They're gonna ask me, what is his name? So now God tells Moses what to tell the children of Israel. And he says, this is what you need to tell them. I am hath sent me unto you. So there's the name. So he's talking to God. God's speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. So the point I make, folks, is when Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am, the Jewish people knew full well what he was saying. And go to Leviticus 24, verse 16. This is the reason they wanted to stone Jesus Christ, is because they believed that he was guilty of the sin of blasphemy. Leviticus 24, 16, And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. So they wanted to kill him right then and there because of what he said. They thought the audacity of this man walking the earth by the name of Jesus Christ, the audacity to say, Before Abraham was, I am. Don't forget that. It's a good stuff to use when you're witnessing to people, not only the Jehovah's Witnesses, but other people too. So we're continuing with the theme here, ladies and gentlemen, proving the deity of Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So let me stop there. So this is the Apostle John, you know, because of persecution, now he's basically exiled to the island of Patmos. And he says, I, John, who also am your brother, okay, and companion in tribulation. This Apostle John, I'm going to meet him one day, folks. So will you if you've been born again of the Spirit. He's my brother. He's my brother in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And what a man of God he was. So here he is. Now he's going to have God Almighty talk with him. So it says he's in the Isle of Patmos. Why? It says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is why he was persecuted, folks. This is why Christians are persecuted. It's because we preach the word of God and we have a testimony. We have a testimony of Jesus Christ, how Christ saved our souls, how Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood. Glory to God. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So we learn here that he hears this voice. It was a great voice as of a trumpet. Could you imagine what this must have been like? So it's the Alpha and Omega. He makes it very clear. The Alpha and Omega. in verse 11, it says, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So this is God talking to the Apostle John. And we learn here that what a difference, you know, John walked with Jesus when he was in this world. But when he was in this world, he was walking like a man. He took on our flesh, okay? So John didn't see him like this. So you must see that. Let's go to verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. What a scene. So he turns, okay? He hears this great voice, okay? And he sees one like unto the Son of Man. Who do you think that's talking about, folks? I mean, let's get real here. Let's go back just briefly. I'm going to come back to Revelation 1, but I want you to see something here. Go to John chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a Jewish rabbi by the name of Nicodemus. Look what Jesus tells the man. He says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, stop right there. When the Lord was talking to Nicodemus, he's telling him that no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. How could the Son of Man be in heaven if he's talking to Nicodemus? How could he be in heaven at the same time that he's on earth talking to Nicodemus? I'll tell you how. Because he's the Son of Man that was come down from heaven, deity, 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 without question. That's what I want you to see. He is the Son of Man, and he's the Son of God. Now we're going to go back to that same Revelation chapter 1, describing this risen, ascended, glorified Christ as he is now, speaking to John. Revelation 1:14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah. So this, we clearly, we've learned that the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, clearly in verse 8, it told us that he was the Almighty. Now, how could this be? In verse 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. How could this be? This is talking of Jesus Christ. The cross, he was killed, butchered on the cross, put down in the ground behind the rock there. I mean, he's dead, but now he's alive again. We know that he rose from the dead. Do you see that, folks? So we see the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty, is the person of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. This destroys that false teaching of the Watchtower Society regarding Jesus being Michael the Archangel. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it says here that the first and the last and Jehovah, it's the same person. Look, thus saith the Lord. This is thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord, the Jehovah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Now, there's only one first and last, folks. And obviously, this is speaking of the person of Jesus Christ, not Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel is not the first and the last. Michael the Archangel is a created being. Not the first and the last, but Jesus Christ is the first and the last. And look what it says there. And beside me, there is no God. Deity, deity, deity. No question about it. You should be jumping for joy, folks. This is the one who rescued you and me from our sins. This is the love of Almighty God. This is the one who was sent down from above, paid the penalty for our sins, so that our sins might be washed away, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, starting at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So look at that, folks, who being in the form of God, by nature God, that's basically what that means. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was equal with God. Because if he was not equal with God, then it would have been robbery. So a lot of meat here in these passages that I'm giving to you, folks. That every knee is going to bow one day before Jesus. Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and under the earth. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. So don't forget these verses, folks. So he is equal with God. And the reason many people rejected Christ is because they refused to believe that he is equal with God. The Jewish people refused to believe that he was equal with God. Go to John chapter 5, verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So, when you listen to people today, folks, you can go into a teaching of who killed Jesus Christ, and, you know, it's as plain as the nose on your face here, folks. He did miracles on the Sabbath day. They wanted to kill him. But when he declared himself to be the Son of God, they wanted to kill him even more. They said, not only because he broke the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So it's all plain, folks, very plain in the scriptures, folks, the deity of Jesus Christ. The bottom line, why people are blind to this, folks, this does not only apply to the Jehovah's Witnesses, but it applies to other people, such as the Jewish people and the Muslims, and other people have counterfeit teachings regarding the deity of Jesus Christ, including people such as the Mormons. So let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. So there it is right there, ladies and gentlemen. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the people of the Watchtower Society, they are void of the Spirit of the living God. In fact, they teach that the Holy Spirit is a force. You know, they don't believe in what we would call the Trinity or the Triunity of God. So you can go off on another teaching like that just to prove that teaching to be false. They're void of the Spirit. And if you're void of the Holy Spirit cannot guide you into all truth because you're rejecting the true teaching about God and Christ and the Spirit. So it's impossible. So they'll come up with all of these teachings to try to justify what they think it's saying. But without the Holy Ghost, folks, it's impossible. That's why you need to be born again. When you're born again, the lights go on. When you're born again, the Spirit of the living God will show you the truth. John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus was talking to a Jewish rabbi named Nicodemus when he spoke those words. The man had the scriptures. The man had the scrolls, but he did not know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. So you can be into the Bible. You could even have the truth. Think about it. They had the truth written down, but because they didn't, the word of God was really not abiding in their heart. They didn't receive Christ when he came, because if the word, the scriptures were truly inside the heart, they would have received Christ when he came. Oh, yes. So keep in mind, folks, you must be born again. Why? Because this is what the scriptures tell us. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. So this putrid body that we have, this whole mindset, we're born in sin, ladies and gentlemen, without the Spirit of the living God, without having your sins washed away in the sight of God, you're ungodly, just like I was. I'm on my way to hell, marching toward hell on rollerblades. My, oh my. I had no idea that I was lost. Oh, that's true. No idea. On my way to hell, folks. On my way to hell. And I thank God. This is why I'm defending the gospel truth about Jesus Christ. I look at the audacity of a group of people to lower Christ to the level of a created being. Lowering him to the level of a created angel. My, oh, my. This is why I'm preaching to you today, folks. I want you to know the real Jesus Christ and that you can be saved. You can have your sins washed away. Jehovah's Witnesses, hear me today. I love you to pieces. If you know, because you're human, you need Christ. You need to get saved. But you must be born again. You must have your sins washed away. You know, there's no amount of going from house to house, distributing your literature, your Watchtower books, your Awake books, or what have you, inviting people into Bible studies. Hear me now. You need to get into the Word of God for yourself. You need to repent and believe the gospel. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me stop there. He died for the ungodly. That's for everybody, folks. He died for the ungodly, folks. I was ungodly. I needed Christ. I need a Savior. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. So there it is, folks. God is a God of love. Jehovah's Witness, hear me now. God loves you. You can't earn your salvation by doing the best you can. You can't earn yourself salvation by going from house to house or trying to get as many people to listen to you, distributing your literature. That's not how you get saved. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, folks. It's the salvation's a gift. We receive this gift It's by faith, folks. It's by faith. So I hope I help you a little understand, folks. Don't let anybody talk you into this false counterfeit teaching that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. Remember, deity, 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 Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. Be blessed.